Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and what a blessing it is to be a part of your life and your journey with Christ. Today is the final sixth week. It's the sixth week. It's the final week in our study of Psalm 23. We've been taking a long drink of the great shepherd's goodness and mercy each of these 6 weeks. If you missed any of the week's messages, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on messages, and you can listen to the messages here on the radio program, or go to our YouTube channel at the Seed Christian Fellowship and watch some of the messages. We've been slowly walking through green pastures. We've sat beside still waters. We've been led on paths of righteousness for the name's sake of God. We have been gently guided through the valley of the shadow of death. We sat at the table that was prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Our heads have been anointed with the oil of gladness as the Holy Spirit has filled our cup to overflowing with forgiveness, grace, mercy, truth, and love. Today we come to study our final verse, where goodness and mercy follow us home, to the shepherd's house, where we will dwell forever. After 22 years of ordained ministry, full-time ministry, and another 15 years unordained as a youth pastor, I'm always amazed at how God's provision and timing happens. As you know, many of you may know, I've been in Florida on and off since mid-January when my mother-in-law fell and was rushed by ambulance to the hospital. As God had provided, I'd already booked a ticket to Florida because we were concerned about my mom and dad, and I was going to check on them. Once I saw mom in the hospital and heard from the doctors that she had stage 4 lung cancer, I knew I needed to fly home so that my wife could fly to see her mom and dad. Well, my wife is allergic to something in the jet fuel and went into anaphylaxis at 30,000 feet 4 years ago. She stopped flying, and that's when our treks to Florida began by car. Jack knew that she had to fly immediately. We booked a ticket, and members of the church amazed her with a mask with a respirator before masks became popular. Kind of saying masks are popular, I guess. This gave my wife the courage she needed to fly. This was back in January. She flew on January 29th. Once there, she knew God was calling her to care for her mom in her last days and be with her dad. I flew back at the end of February to be with my wife and her mom and dad. I walked with her mom and dad and my wife through the valley of the shadow of death as she passed away on February 25th. After mom's March 13th funeral, the coronavirus, COVID-19, hit the nation, and we found ourselves quarantined in Florida. I ended up spending 87 days in Florida, and my wife spent 112 days in Florida. During the season, we knew that our dad, we call him dad, he's my father-in-law, our dad could not stay home alone, and the family needed to figure out what to do for his future. From all of our trips to and from Florida by car, and because of the coronavirus, dad's high risk of standing, we decided to rent a motor home and bring dad back to California. That way, no hotels, no rest stops, no restaurants needed. We left on May 15th and we arrived home, sweet home, in California. Listen, if you haven't ever tried to figure out if your 88-year-old father, who is a golf car accident 3 years ago, can stay home alone, all I can say is that alone, that was a trip among trips. We had many visit with Dad's doctors, and Dad had many tests. The end result, 24/7 care was required. We spent a few more weeks trying to figure out how to make room for Dad in our home. Our best friends here in California and our family decided that it was possible to build a bedroom in our garage for Jack and I to live in, and for our dad to take our bedroom. We live together with our daughter and son of love and their three children. And our Jody, who has done some of the seed announcements, and Javon, our worship leader, and three kids took our garage apart and my office apart and put everything in storage. We had 2 weeks for the team to build a bedroom and remodel a tub and shower for a walk-in shower. Are you kidding? 2 weeks? I have been blessed by God with the very best church family, the very best friends, and the very best family. I'm humbled at how they worked tirelessly to build a bedroom in our garage and renovate our bathroom so that our 88-year-old dad could have a bedroom and walk-in bathroom to shower in. I want to say that our dad, Andy, will now dwell in our house and will dwell with our Heavenly Father's house forever, because of our time with him, those 87 days, and my wife's 112 days. Surely goodness and mercy has followed us through this time of our study in Psalm 23. Our Old Testament passage is Psalm 23. Join me in a moment of prayer as we open God's living word. Good Shepherd Jesus Christ, we come today to listen to your voice. Lead us to green pastures of grace and mercy and love. Guide us to still waters of rest, peace, and calm. Lead us in your path of righteousness. May your rod and your staff protect us and comfort us and guide us as we walk through the dark valleys of life and death. We are so thankful that your provision of a table of blessings and miracles in the presence of our enemies. Anoint our minds, our hearts, our heads with your wisdom, truth, and grace. And may our cup always overflow with your blessings upon blessings of goodness and mercy. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, or right paths, for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our New Testament passage comes from our good friend Paul, from his letter to the Romans. These passages are from Romans chapter 8. They're speaking of God's unending love. They're like sparkling jewels in a crown of glory. They remind us of the security, the assurance, and the promise that we have from God, found in Christ Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. Listen as we read God's word in Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? That's a great question, isn't it? Especially with all that's going on in our world today. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Listen, those are the things Paul faced, but we could say, will pandemics or cancer or unrest and uneasiness and fear, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over the past 5 weeks, we've taken a journey with the Good Shepherd. We have shared together a slow but wonderful walk through these six verses of this magnificent psalm. I pray that our walk with the Good Shepherd has given us a fresh and new and life-giving perspective on the goodness and mercy of the Great Shepherd. Let's prepare our hearts for today's message with just a moment of silence. And I know I'm not supposed to do this on the radio, but take a moment of silence and reflect on the last verse. If you're comfortable doing this and you're able and you're not driving or working, close your eyes and hear one or two words that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. Listen again to the sixth verse of Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This psalm is about security. Security found in the promises. Security found in the provision. This psalm speaks to me of confidence. This kind of Tarzan chest thumping, end zone dancing, we will rock you confidence. This psalm oozes with confidence. Why is this psalm so confident? How can it be so confident? What is the secret to the confidence found in this psalm? Well, the answer is found in verse 6. There is one word that summarizes the entire psalm: security. Where does this security come from? Our security is found in the goodness and mercy of God. This psalm is all about being secure in God's love and care as we journey through green pastures, sit by still waters, be led on paths of righteousness, valleys of the shadow of death, dining at the table and going home with our Good Shepherd eternally forever and ever. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we're talking about security. Security is the promise that's found in this Psalm 23. Listen again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Did you catch it? Did you hear it? It is the very first word, surely. Didn't you just love that little word, surely? Don't miss the word. The psalmist did not say, well, maybe, could be, possibly, I have a hunch, or it sounds like a good idea. The psalmist said, surely. I like Webster's definition for surely. It means safe, secure, will not fail, always effective, can be relied on, depended on, trustworthy, cannot be doubted, questioned, or disputed. Absolutely true. The Hebrew word for surely is akal, A-W-K-A-L, transliterated akal. It is used as a marker for emphasis in the Hebrew language. This marker wants to tell us something important. God is surely akal with you, and you can be secure. It is telling us what goes before this word and what follows this word can be relied on, depended on, and is absolutely trustworthy. In other words, you might understand this as take it to the bank. This check is 100% backed up by God's secure promises. What words follow surely? Goodness and mercy. Go through the entire psalm and know that God, our Good Shepherd, is the one who says we shall not want. We lie down in green pastures. We are led beside the still waters. We will be restored. Our Good Shepherd leads us on right paths. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil because God's rod and staff will comfort us. There's a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. We'll be anointed with oil, and our cup is promised to overflow. And if you're not certain of all this, the psalmist says the one word above all other words, surely. Take it to the bank, dear sheep, because God's goodness and mercy will follow you, each and every one of us, all the days of our lives, as he has promised, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In his book, God's Psychiatry, Dr. Charles W. Allen told story of a man who came to see him. This fellow had risen to the top of his company, but along the way, he had lost his peace of mind. He was worried, tense, and sick. He had been to doctors and taken bottles of pills, but nothing helped. Dr. Allen took out a sheet of paper and wrote a prescription for him. He prescribed the 23rd Psalm 5 times a day for 7 days. That was the prescription. Psalm 23, 5 times a day for 7 days. He insisted that the man carry out the assignment to the letter. Upon awaking each morning, the man was to read through the psalm carefully, meditatively, and prayerfully. Immediately after breakfast, he would do the same. Then after lunch, again after dinner, and finally, the last thing before going to bed. Allen gave the prescription with the confidence that it would work because he had given out that same advice many times, and it never failed. The prescription sounds simple, but really it isn't. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most powerful pieces of writing in the book. It can be a marvelous thing for any person. I would recommend, in fact, I would ask you, if you're struggling and worried and troubled about many things, I would say, read Psalm 23 5 times a day for 7 days and see what will happen. Listen to Romans 8, 38 through 39 again. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Surely, be convinced, take God's word to the bank of heaven, and be convinced that there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God found in Christ, our Good Shepherd. That is why we can say, surely. During our 2,600-mile trip across the United States, I had some great alone time driving. I was reminded of the first time I came to California in the summer of 1999. I came to do an interview for a church in Upland, California. I'd been interviewing with other churches at the time. In fact, I was getting close to accepting a call from a church in Boca Raton, Florida. Then the Upland church called and asked me to fly out and to do an interview with them. I'm going to tell you the truth. I did not want to come to California. Yeah. But our oldest daughter was in graduate school over here at Biola. The church said, "We think you're the guy. So come and stay a week and visit your daughter on us. We only want 3 days of your time." It was the week of her birthday. I thought it was a good idea, even though I thought for sure that I was going to Boca Raton, Florida. I will tell you that the church in Boca Raton called me and offered me a signing bonus if I didn't come to California for this visit. But I told them that I had made a promise that I would go to Upland and I needed to fulfill my word. We landed in Ontario for our interview. The church put us up in the Doubletree over by the Ontario airport. The next morning, I was reading my Psalms, Psalm 92, and I got to verse 12 through 14, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me right then and there. Right outside my second-story outdoor balcony were these tall, majestic palm trees. I know that this will sound strange to some, but the Holy Spirit spoke right to my heart. In Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, and they shall be planted in the house of the Lord. And they'll bear fruit." They'll bear fruit. Wow. When I read that, the Holy Spirit said, "Look at those palm trees. Look at how they grow. They grow straight up, pointing their growth to God." Then the next part of the verse was the cedars of Lebanon. Again, the Holy Spirit interrupted my reading and said, "Look higher." It was a clear morning, and you could see the cedar trees standing outside looking up at Mount Baldy and Cucamonga Peak. The next part of Psalm 92 is that the righteous will be planted like palm trees and cedar trees in the house of the Lord. They'll bear fruit in old age. To be honest with you, this was the summer of 1999, and I started weeping. What you don't know is that when I began ministry, I kind of bargained with God, and I said, "God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Don't send me to California." and don't send me to New York. It's interesting. I do ministry over in Long Island, and now I'm doing ministry in California. The final word of Psalm 23 is forever. It literally means from sunrise to sunset, surely and forever. What wonderful bookends. So what do these ancient words written thousands of years ago have to do with us today? What are we to say about these things? What are we to say about all the things that have been going on around you? What are you to say about being quarantined or locked in or having to wear a face mask or not being able to go to work? What are you to say about the things where we have the unrest and the injustice in this world? Paul says, what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I can't guarantee what your future holds, or really what my future holds. I cannot open the palm of my hand and tell you the length of your days or how things are going to work out. I cannot tell you who you're going to marry or how many children or grandchildren you will have. I cannot tell you if you'll succeed in your business, if you'll be rich, or if you'll be in debt. I cannot promise you that you'll not have your heart broken, or that you will not be hurt or suffer physically or emotionally, mentally, sexually, or spiritually. I cannot tell you that you will not have panic, fear, or pandemics. What I can tell you is, there's a good shepherd. You have a good shepherd who holds your future. We have a good shepherd who holds my future. We have a good shepherd who holds us in his loving hands. The good shepherd's goodness and mercy is the embrace of God around our past, around our present, and around our future. You can take that to the bank. The Lord is our shepherd. That's all we need. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we know that these times are uncertain, but you are certain. You are sure. You are faithful, even when we're faithless. Lord, your word surely means that you are absolutely trustworthy, that your goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer is that you'll know that God's love is unending. My prayer is that maybe you will take Psalm 23 and read it 5 times a day for 7 days, and you will come to know the Good Shepherd, who loves you unconditionally and will love you forever. If you need a prayer, or if you need prayer concerns, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and write your prayer concern, and our prayer team will pray for you. You can go to our YouTube channel and watch the messages, or go to our website and read the messages. I want you to know that we have a good shepherd who will follow you and walk with you, because God is for you. Who could ever be against you? God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.